And welcome back to our DOS Game Club play together of Simon the Sorcerer. I am Florian, and as usual, Martin is here.
Hello.
But this time we are not alone. There is also Jonas.
Hello.
And Gonzalo.
Hi there.
So, that's more people than usual. Let's see what we can make of that. So, you guys, you actually said you had played the game until the point where we ended the first episode, right?
Right.
So
yep.
Let's see if we can get you up to speed without maybe without spoiling too much so that you don't have to listen maybe to episode 2 and still make progress. I think if you listen to the episode, that's just spoiling everything. So
yeah. Well, I'm wondering now what it is that you're actually stuck on, because then we can maybe think of what to do so we can help you along from there. And then I think if we help you along from there and then you listen to episode 2, then you should be all right, I think.
Cool. Well, I'm stuck at the... I can't find the wood, and I don't know what to do with the beans and the wax. Right. And I can't get to the bottom of the mine. I can't get past the guy with the stick.
Huh. That's the dwarf mine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, those are very much things that we've... talked about in the second part, right?
Cool. Yeah, I think we did all of that in the second, yes. So
maybe not explaining bean part so well, because I think that's something we both already did.
Yeah, I think we summarized it a bit. But
yeah, the thing with the beans is that I don't know if you remember where the game starts. It's it's in your hut, right? Or it's not your hut, it's Calypso's hut.
Yeah.
House, I guess. It's just one. Yeah, and did you go behind the house?
Yes, the compost heap.
There you go.
So I go there and I do something with the beans there.
Yeah, isn't compost like growing stuff for plants? Right,
yeah, of course.
So
makes kind of sense, I guess.
The thing is, the thing that happens then doesn't really explain itself either. So
no, there are some giant leaps of moon logic in this middle part of the game.
I think especially that part you need the owl for. So you need to talk to the owl and listen to all the things that it has to say.
I have.
One of the things that it says is musical instruments and melons don't go together.
Yeah.
So I think the combination of these facts will help you along with the beans.
Awesome.
The wood is more of a... Well, that's a really long story. Puzzle. Yes. Yeah, that's a lot of parts. Because it all kind of it's all about this woodcutter guy, right?
Yeah.
That makes sort of sense, I guess.
Yeah, I find the Mithril. Yep. Or Milrith.
It's Milrith in this game. Yes.
No, I haven't found it, but I found the location with the metal detector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to remember. I think it involved the paleontologist. We talked about this, but I don't remember exactly how you get this started.
Yeah.
Oh, he wants the fossil. That's it.
Yeah, he wants a fossil. Yeah, exactly.
So do you have the fossil?
No, I don't have a fossil.
Right. Okay. And that's because you've not passed the snowman.
The snowman?
No, I think the snowman is at the end of the section, at the beginning of which you get the fossil.
Yeah.
How do you get... Oh, yes. You need to finish the melon thing first before you can get there. Because
right.
How much shall we spoil?
Well, everything is kind of...
You don't
connected.
Have to spoil. I think maybe I can figure it out once I get the melon stuff out of the way.
Yeah, it's a long chain of things that starts with the melons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the melons.
The melon in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and what was the last thing that you were...
That was the mine, the dwarf mine.
Right. I think you can make some progress with that. Yes. Okay. If you have the scissors. Do you have the scissors?
Yes, I do.
Right. So if you enter the mine...
Oh, but he's inside the mine already. So you have a dwarf disguise.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
So what you're lacking is a way to get past the two dwarfs at the entrance.
Yes, and the guy with the spear.
Yes. Okay.
Oh.
So you want to get there's this room you get in there. There's this one dwarf sitting behind a desk, and the other one is leaning against the wall.
Yeah, kind of sleeping or something. It looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably important to say that dwarves like beer a lot, as you may have
Right. Yeah.
Do you have
the owl says that as well?
Ah, yes. Do you have beer?
No.
Then that's what you should get.
Yeah, but you do have the beeswax, right?
I do.
Yeah. So
Remember,
there's
that
beer in the bar. I know there's beer in the bar.
Yes,
behind Simon. The barman.
Yeah,
and Simon is quite the jerk.
Yeah.
So.
And I know I can get him to like look for something under the table, but I don't know what to do then.
No, it's not very obvious, but it does involve the beeswax. So if you can just fiddle with it a bit.
All right,
then
I will.
I think you can make good progress there as well.
Yep.
So
I'll try that out. I think that's good enough for me. I think maybe Gonzalo has a couple of questions or something. Now I've been talking for a while.
Don't worry, it's fine. That's what it's about.
You're here for talking.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's up?
The only...
What's up, Gonzalo?
Yeah, hey. I was only wondering, the last thing I did, I think, was getting the shopping list from beneath a rock, and I gave that to the two-headed shopkeeper. Mm-hmm. But I don't see... You mentioned a box should be out there, but I haven't seen that yet. So I was wondering if it's a timing thing or probably need to do something than that.
I think that when I played it, at least, maybe there was something, another condition that was hidden that I didn't realize was there. But
do you have the ring, Gonzalo?
Oh, the ring, no.
Oh, that's it. I think that's it.
Good point.
Yeah. The ring.
Yeah, you do need the ring.
And I'm assuming you get that from Gollum, because I met Gollum, and he wants some food.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what to give him, so I'll try that.
There's not a whole lot of food in this game.
I think one food item in total, I think.
Yeah.
And that's hardly food.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. It's not really food. But yeah, I have that, so I'll try that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Simon eats it, so.
It's in a bowl. You can eat it. That's food, right?
doesn't immediately kill you. So.
No. So, yeah, I think you need the ring because...
otherwise it doesn't make sense. You cannot pass the next section.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you do the box thing at the shop, you get locked into a small section of the game where you can't get out.
And you need the ring there.
Exactly. So if you don't have... Actually, this is pretty good game design. I mean...
It is.
Lots of Sierra games would just happily send you to the dungeon. Yeah. And then, you're stuck? Well... Too bad.
Is it really good game design if there's nothing that points you towards the fact that you need an item there? Or item? So it's
at least they realized.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they are not sending you into certain death.
Yes.
So that's something.
Or even worse, you get stuck.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think if you do that, Gonzalo, then you'll be able to follow along what we did during the episode where we got ourselves out of the dungeon. So
cool. Yeah, I'm actually trying that now.
Nice. You're playing?
I've got the...
Oh, right. We did the dungeon thing at the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm getting the ring now. It's fishing. Simon is fishing out a bunch of trash, I guess. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and he's got the ring, working as in the book.
Yes, there's so many Lord of the Rings. I think the guy who wrote this game just read Lord of the Rings and then made this game.
Change a few names here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lord of the Rings and Terry Pratchett books?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There is actually a Discworld game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there is.
Is it?
We're saving that for a big Pratchett anniversary or something.
Mm.
Is that a DOS game? Because I saw that in magazines back in the day, but I can't remember.
I think it is. I think it's also cool. A point and click adventure game for DOS. It's almost exactly this game, except it's not this game. I mean, it's different. It's a different world.
I think Simon was supposed to be, but they never got a license.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they intended this to be a Discworld game, but then, well, it didn't turn out.
It would fit right in anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So it's really confusing. It's to me, these are like the same game, Discworld and Simon the Sorcerer. Although they're not the same. I mean, they're definitely different, but yeah.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, I have the melon and the ring. So I actually have to leave, guys. So I'll try to work with this couple of items next. And I actually also have the beeswax, so I'll try that too.
Exactly.
So yeah, thanks for the hints.
No problem.
This is like the best hint system I've ever used.
Yeah. Wait until you get the bill.
I remember
back
when we played Gateway, I used Tyne as my hint book, and he would just read the sections of the real hint section
of the walkthrough. Yes.
and just the headlines were enough to point me in the right direction.
But happy to have you, Gonzalo, and thanks for dropping by.
Thanks, and looking forward to the episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, I think I'm going to check out too as well, guys, and just try it out for myself. It seems like there's a long way up until your point, so I won't hold you back.
No, I think this is sort of the meat of the game in a way. It's like there's this intro section, and then there's like this, because the puzzles in this section are really long. It's like it involves a lot of moving parts and so yeah, this is the meat of the game, and then the section where Florian and I left off the second part, that's actually just really tiny part of the game. I think we stopped the game like half an hour before it ends or something.
Yeah,
so I think it took me 3 hours more, but yes.
yeah but still, well, we'll talk about that next.
Yes.
But
yeah. Well, thanks a lot for the help, guys, and looking forward to the episode, and nice talking to you again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, now we can talk business.
Well, it would be a shame to spoil
the
end, right? Because
those are the best puzzles. No, they're not.
No. Well, where we left off, let's think where we left off. I think we needed to find Skull Island, right?
Yes, because we were still looking for the Frogsbane.
Yes, and actually, I think the last thing we did was the Witch's Hut, and we got the broom because we found the, what is it, the Tower of Doom or something?
Yes, exactly. And we tried to we used the broom to cross over the chasm or whatever you'd call it.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't fit through the crack in the door.
Yeah. And we tried all items and nothing worked. So, and then one of us remembered that actually the druid, he talked about giving us something from Alice in Wonderland or something.
Yeah. And there's also a quote by the owl that says something about shrinking and the druid helping with shrinking or something like that.
Mm, yeah, the excellent built-in hint system.
Yes, works perfectly fine.
So, and actually I think finding Skull Island might be that one of the more difficult puzzles in this.
That took me half of the time.
Yeah.
That was still left in the game.
I had no idea. When we left off, I was completely clueless. I think what you did and me as well is just go through everything again.
Yes,
just
it was pure luck in the end.
Is there even a slightest hint as to what?
If there is, then I haven't found it. So
no, it's yeah. I think it was you who said just talk to everyone again.
Yeah, that's what I did. I went to every NPC in the game and I looked at all the dialogue options, trying to figure out if there's someone of them who could tell me something about Skull Island.
Hmm.
And I couldn't find anything. So I think it was actually the last one I went to, because I remember he didn't have any dialogue. So I went to the Swampling.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe there's just some way to get some information from him. And indeed, that's the case.
Yeah, and it's funny because I had visited the Swampling a few times just when I was just randomly, you know, cruising the map. But every time I went there, I also ate one or two bowls of stew, because that's just what he offers me. And I didn't want to be impolite. So I just sat there and ate a few bowls of stew every time. So I think by the time I went there, I already must have eaten, I don't know, 6 or 8 of these bowls. Mm-hmm. And then he's suddenly just out. I think he's out of stew.
And then he leaves to fetch more ingredients.
Yeah, but this happened really quickly for me on my last visit. It happened after like one bowl. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that
may be the same for me. Either one or maybe it's not even... maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not that you have to eat a certain amount, but maybe you have to finish other puzzles first.
That would be clever.
Yeah, I don't know. But either way, he leaves. And when a character leaves, that's a big hint that you have to fiddle around their stuff, right?
Yep. And luckily, in his hut, there are only 2 items, I think. So there is the pot for the stew, and there's a wooden crate on the floor.
Yeah. So and you can't open the crate, and, well, then you start pushing the crate.
Yep. And it reveals a secret door.
A trap door to Skull Island. This makes a lot of sense. I don't know. It's so random.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's just, I mean, do other people visit Skull Island? Do they go through his house? Is that
the real question? Is how did the druid know about? Well, he can be a frog, so maybe he knows about the swamp stuff.
It's kind of weird, but anyway, the entrance to Skull Island is through this guy's floor. Yep. There's a trap door in the floor, and there's one puzzle, I think. in front of like holding you back.
Yeah, well, it's hardly a puzzle.
It's sort of a puzzle. It's blocking the way.
Yes, it took me ages to figure out, because you need an item that I didn't have, and the place where you get it, I thought I had taken everything from there that you can take. So it was it took me another, I don't know, hour or so until I thought, oh well, okay, let's look there again. And then it turned out, okay, yes, there was an item I missed.
Yeah, you need an item from the shop. And this shop is a bit of a problem, I feel, because it's really unclear what items are for sale and what items are just red herrings.
Yeah, I tried all of them, or I thought I had tried all of them. But I must have missed specifically the one item that you need, and that is the hammer.
Hmm. I actually already had the hammer when I first entered this scene. So I think I just randomly, when visiting the whole map, I guess I found it. I don't know. I didn't really register. I just had it in my inventory.
I tried all the weird things. You get, where did you get the wedge? You get a wooden wedge that we took from somewhere.
From the door in the tower.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yeah. And I tried opening, like shoving it into this we should talk about what the problem is.
The problem is there's a loose plank.
Yes. So the whole way from the Swampling's house to Skull Island is just like a wooden, what do you call those in English?
Floorboard or a...
Yeah, so like a bridge, a wooden bridge across the swamp. Yeah. And one of the boards, or the planks, is loose. And when you try to walk there, Simon almost falls into the swamp.
Yeah, it flips up. I think a similar thing is in Monkey Island, where a board flips up.
With the bird behind the kitchen. Yeah.
But this prevents you from walking further.
Yes.
And I also thought the wedge would be a good solution. You know, just wedge it in there to block it from moving. I don't know how exactly, but...
Doesn't matter.
I also,
you know, I had like a rock and some other items and and the bucket. I thought, oh, maybe I can just put the bucket onto the plank so it will counterbalance my weight.
I tried that too. Just put a lot of weight on the other side doesn't work. So yeah, eventually it turns out that in the shop you can buy a hammer, and it comes with one nail, one which is complimentary clearly enough. Nail. Yes. Yeah. So yeah, you can use the one nail to lock the plank into place, I guess, and then your entire weight is held by this one nail, and you can walk across, and this works somehow. Yep. So this is for a game it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, some of those puzzles are, I don't know, they're not really puzzly. I think it's just like you have to have the right item with you, and then you can solve it.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, but anyway. And that's actually the last thing that blocks you from getting the Frogbane.
Yeah, then you just walk over, and it's just there. Skull Island is tiny.
Yes.
I thought it would be impressive.
Same. Yes.
It's nothing. It's a tiny little rock in the swamp.
You know, I assumed it was at least the size of Melee Island in Monkey Island or something like that. So something where you can walk around on and there are multiple places to visit. But no, it's just...
Like I think it could fit maybe 6 people.
Yes.
And they would all be standing next to each other.
Yes. And slipping off the sides because it's it's not a very flat island.
No.
I think island may even be the wrong word. It's just a giant skull stuck in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, on top of it, there grows the Frogbane.
Yeah. And yeah, this must have been the most difficult puzzle in the whole game.
Yeah.
Because when you get the Frogbane, everything is kind of straightforward from that point on. You just go back to the druid and you give him the Frogbane. I like how you can say to him like something like, "Hey, Frogman." This is just a funny way to address him. And... yeah, you give him the Frogbane, he turns, I don't know, is he turned into a frog at this point? Yeah,
yes,
I guess
he is.
Yeah,
frog all the time, yes.
Yeah, so he turns back into a human, gives you the Alice in Wonderland cookie, I guess, biscuit?
No, something? I think it's a potion.
Oh, this is the potion.
Yes. He still says, I really hate parting with this potion. And Simon says, I really hate parting with this Frogbane.
That's cool. But then you can go back to the Tower of Doom, cross the gap with the witch's broom, and then use the potion to become tiny. And then you can walk through the crack, but before you do, you lose your entire inventory.
Yes, because it doesn't fit in your tiny body. That's a big logical gap, I think, because we have turned into a mouse before and we didn't lose any of our inventory.
Yeah, but that was magic.
And the potion isn't. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. It's also a bit sad because you lose items such as the wedge we talked about. You lose the matches. You lose one of the rocks. I think none of these items had any use.
Nope.
I mean,
also the magic whisket wallet.
Yeah.
So many items that have no use.
So, yeah, there's just a whole lot of junk items, apparently.
And the fun thing about the matches is that you get new matches later on.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, that was so funny. So, yeah, you're stuck with nothing. You're tiny, and you have literally an empty inventory, I think.
You still have the postcard, but yeah.
Yeah, you need that, because otherwise you can't save your game. So, yeah. I guess the postcard shrinks with you and the rest not. I don't know. And you're dropped into the garden, right?
Yeah, I think you have to run because there is like a rat or something that hunts you. And you're smaller than the rat, so...
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's like everything is huge all of a sudden and you're tiny. I thought it was nice, a change of perspective. And, well, since you are now tiny and you have no inventory and there's only maybe 3 screens, I think, where you can go?
I think, yeah, 3. Yes, I think it's exactly 3.
So, it's...
Oh,
it's
actually, wait a second. You don't get chased out by the rat. That's only when you try to enter again. You actually meet your dog in there. somehow got into the Tower of Doom without shrinking, and he's normal size, and he carries you out into the next room.
That's right. And are you playing it now? Are you?
No, I don't have a save game from that part anymore. I'm just trying to remember, and I think you get a hair from him.
That's right. Yeah, you do have the one dog hair. That's the one item you have in your inventory. And you use that together with some other items you find, which is a matchstick, I think, and what else? A leaf? And yeah, you build a raft, although I don't you put the matchstick onto something to build a raft, right?
Yeah, there's like a lily pond.
Yeah, that's right.
And so there's a lily leaf. You put the matchstick there.
Yeah, and it just magically stays up.
Yep.
So then you have a little boat, and you can cross a little water. But there's not enough water, so you get stuck. So then you have to open a tap, which is really rusty.
Yep.
So you have to put oil on it, which you have to make from a seed.
Grows. That was the hardest part, actually, just figuring out how to navigate the pond.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when playing a normal game, you're the adventure in normal mode, you're supposed to click where you want to go, and then Simon just walks there. But in this part, you have to click the item where you want to go, even though it's like you cannot reach it from the boat directly because it hangs like 3 times your size above your head. Mm-hmm. But you still have to click the item to go there and not the pond where you want to go with the boat.
Yeah. You'll figure it out. I mean, there's not a whole lot else you can do, but it's just a little different. And then you have to smash the seed with the rock to get oil and use that on the tap.
You first need to climb up the tap.
Yeah.
For that, you need, I think that's what you need the hair for, actually. Don't you make like a lasso and then throw it over the tap and you can climb it? I think that's what happens.
Yeah, is that true? Also, you have to pull the hair to turn the tap. I don't know. I don't remember how it, but yes. this would be reasonably difficult in the normal game. Like if there was a huge map and you had tons of items, then this would be a reasonably difficult section. Mm-hmm. But because there's only so much you can do and there's only so much places you can go and items you can use, it sort of solves itself because there's just, you can just brute force it, basically. Yeah.
There are like 3 items in the world and 3 items in your inventory. So like nine actions that you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually you'll figure it out and then the tap opens and the water rises and then you're able to cross the pond into a very aggressive frog who I really struggled kind of with him because every time I walked up there, he ate me.
Yes.
And I was trying to do different things, but every time I made the mistake of first walking up to the frog before wanting to do something, but you can't do this. So every time before I wanted to do something, he already ate me and spit me out. So it was a little bit frustrating, but
That's also super simple because the item that you need to get rid of the frog is right next to it.
Yeah, it's kind of silly.
Yeah. So in the pond, there's a little tadpole and you pick it up and you walk up to the frog and talk to it and tell you, hey, get out of the way or the tadpole I will torture it, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the frog just goes. And that's it.
Yeah, you have to talk to the frog. That's one thing that I had not really considered. I thought you had to maybe give it or throw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure if you ever use the give command in this game because you can just talk to people and mention the item.
Oh, sometimes. So. No, I think usually when you talk and say, hey, I have this item for you, they will just ask, oh, yeah, give it to me. And then
you're
dropped
right into
the normal game screen again without dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, anyway, it's a talking frog, and you have to give this, what is this called? Like these little froglings, I don't know.
Tadpoles.
Tadpoles.
You know, I didn't know the word either. So
no.
I looked it up. Or actually, it's becoming clear when you see the item, or the icon for it, but yeah.
Yeah, and then...
like a baby, just hops baby off. Frog.
Baby frog. Like a fish, like a little baby fish frog. And then the frog just jumps off. And that's when you get the biscuit, right?
Mushroom.
Or, oh, mushroom. How did I think it's a biscuit? I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, then you're large again. That's the Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. The mushroom even has "eat me" written on it.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, then you're large again, and this is the first time that you're actually aware that you are in the Tower of Doom, right?
Yeah.
Because before you were just tiny little insect in the garden, but now you can navigate the whole Tower of Doom. Although I think there's an enemy in the way at first.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it a book or something?
No, it's a treasure chest.
Oh, that's right.
With something with opens. Legs and teeth. So I think that's probably a Pratchett reference as well.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you just have to put a stick in his mouth or something. Mm-hmm.
Oh, where do we get the stick? I forgot about the stick.
It's just laying around somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. It's somewhere. You will find it.
Yeah. So then you that's how you defeat the enemy. You also get a shield and a spear, some other items that are just laying around. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of activity going on in this tower. I thought maybe it would be, you know, there would be bad guys or something, but there's mm-hmm. actually not a... It's mostly empty. The only people, I think, are upstairs. There's two demons. Because at this point you can navigate the tower and there's like four floors or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you have to go all the way down into the dungeon and then, well, try to figure out all the items on every level until you reach the top, and it turns out there's two demons guarding the place, sort of, although they're actually not...
they're not really... no.
They don't do anything, really, and they're mostly just standing there discussing things, and they're not really happy, are they?
No, I don't think they like their job. So
no,
what they really want is to go back to hell. Actually,
yeah.
And they tell you if you help them go back to hell, then they will explain to you how to use the teleporter, which is also in this room.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a teleporter at the top, and you have to use that to. Do they even say where it goes? They don't really explain.
No, I don't think they even know it. Or did they talk about the fiery pits of Rondor?
I don't know.
They probably did. I'm not sure.
But anyway, in this tower, there are some books. And one of the books explains how to send demons back to hell.
So what's the chance? Finding just the book that you need.
Exactly. So yeah, it describes this... magic spell or it's
ritual,
a,
more like maybe.
It's a ritual. I was going to say procedure, but that's not the word. So there's this ancient dark ritual that you have to do involving candles and a skull.
The double square, they call it, which is like the pentagram of the Simon world. Candles, skull, double square, and you need the names of the demons that you want to send back.
Yeah, and they don't want to give their real names. This would have been a difficult puzzle if it weren't for the fact that you only have three items.
Yes, exactly.
So the thing is that there's a magic mirror one level below, and you can talk to the magic mirror. The magic mirror is also not particularly happy.
No.
So I think... what's the bad guy's name again?
Sordid,
yeah. Sordid needs to get his human resources in order. And because his own people are revolting against him. And
yep.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and there's also the laboratory of Sordid.
That's one of the floors.
Yes.
Yeah, there's his bedroom. Is that the same as the laboratory?
No, I think that's a different one.
Yeah, because there's also a dungeon with like... What's it like a torture?
Yes, and I just remembered you also need a mouse for the ritual.
Really?
I think you do.
I don't remember the mouse. there is a mouse. There's a mouse hole.
And you have to catch it.
With... Yeah, do something with a sock or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is... So you find like a pouch full with Sordid's old stinky socks, and you use that to catch the mouse.
Yeah. It's a bit of a weird puzzle. Also, would have been difficult if it weren't for the fact that you only have so many items. Yeah,
exactly.
And the mouse hole's kind of easy to miss, but...
Yeah, well, when you first enter the room, you see the mouse running into the mouse hole.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, I feel this last section of the game is pretty fun, though. I mean, there's not a whole lot blocking you, mm-hmm. and it just plays pretty smoothly. I feel this would have been a perfect intro section.
Yeah, I think that's true, yeah.
Because the game really oddly just drops you into this overwhelming world, and it can be a bit much. But this last section, this is very doable. So mm-hmm. it's a bit of an upside-down progression through this game. Anyway, the Magic Mirror talks about being able to link, I think, link to another mirror and then set up some kind of spy system.
Yeah, it can. It says it can look through every shiny object or every shiny surface.
Yeah. So then you use the shield that you found together with something to make it shiny.
Yeah, that is a chemical that you can find in the lab, I think.
That's right.
And I mean, that was so obvious. You have a shield, and he explicitly says this is like a, what's the opposite of shiny? A dull shield, and you find a chemical for which the description is this can be used to polish things, and you have a mirror that tells you I can... look through every polished surface. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what to do here.
Exactly. So, yeah, you polish the mirror, create a mirror by polishing the shield, put it in front. There's a conveniently placed
super
hook.
Conveniently, yes.
There's a conveniently placed hook just in front of the demon. So that's where you can hang the shield by. And yeah, then you can spy on the demons as they foolishly mention their real names to each other, mm-hmm. which... As you do, right, Florian? Don't we always mention each other's names when we talk? Yeah.
Just be careful that nobody sends us back to hell now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's that section done already. That's the Tower of Doom.
Yeah, you still have to go up there and talk to them once you have all those items. And then Simon draws a double square on the floor, puts the mouse, the candles... and the skull there, and the demons actually light the candles for you. That's very nice of them. Mm,
that is nice. So before
they leave, they still tell you, yes, you have to use the teleporter. You have to enter it and push the big red button labeled self-destruct.
Yeah, and it's also the only button you can press, right?
Yes.
So yeah, there's really nothing involved.
Which then. Oh, I think we also need the magic wand of Sordid. I think it's also in the lab or in the bedroom, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You do find his magic wand, which is just one of these cheap.
It's like a magician's show.
Yeah,
magic wand.
Yeah, yeah. The most cheap, terrible wand you can think of. It's that. It's like the black with the white ends. Mm-hmm. It's So that's
you can really see him. Tip like a top hat with it and pull a rabbit out.
Exactly. So then you use the teleporter to transport you to the fiery pits of Rondor.
Yes.
Which is also another totally not influenced by the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I think Rondor only by pure incident sounds a bit like Mordor spelled in a different way.
You think?
With one letter replaced.
And it turns out that the Fiery Pits of Rondor are actually a tourist attraction. This is very Monkey Island as well.
Yes, it's a very sad tourist attraction because the guy that sells the tickets for it, he just says, yeah, we've only had two visitors ever.
Yeah, yeah. It's not... And which must have been... Well, Sordid must be one of them.
Yep.
Calypso the other? I don't know.
There's no one else there, so...
No, it's not a very popular tourist attraction.
Nope.
He still doesn't want to allow you through.
No, he would lose his job.
Yeah,
and you don't have any money at this point into the game. You had money before, but you lost all your items at the door when you entered the tower. So
I think we still had 7 gold pieces.
Yeah. I don't know what the tickets actually cost, but you don't have any money anyway. So there's no way you're buying a ticket. And it's sort of the same situation again, where there's only really the one screen, and there's so many items available, just really few.
Yeah, and this puzzle design. I mean, there are, I think you need 3 items to solve it, and they're all in this room.
So. Yeah, and there's not a whole lot more. So what do you, like, receive a booklet or something?
Yeah, you talk to the guy who sells the tickets, and he will give you a brochure or something.
Yeah, and there's a elastic band inside.
Or around, I guess.
That's a sort of... if you've played a lot of adventure games, then you're used to always inspect the items that you receive. I feel this is like a thing maybe new players would easily miss.
Oh yes, you have definitely have to look at brochure. So
yeah, exactly. So that's like a staple of playing adventure games. You know, always pick up every item, look at everything.
Especially when you're playing like a text adventure, then you always say this. You scan the text that you've just read, and then you say describe or look at, and then enter every of the proper nouns that you find.
Exactly.
In the description.
So yeah, this rubber band, and then you also find a wedge, which I think is just on the floor or something. Yeah,
like a twig, like a twig that splits into 2 parts, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
and a pebble, how convenient. Yeah.
So the thing is that you assemble a catapult, and there is a fire alarm really prominently in the middle of the screen. It's a really big bell. So yeah, obviously you're putting the pebble in the catapult and shooting it at the bell. And weirdly, you're at the fiery pits of Rondor. I mean, there's going to be fire, right? I mean, that's... That's the whole thing. But yeah, the fire alarm is set off and the guy leaves his post.
Yeah, in panic.
Yeah. Oh no, it's happening again. And actually, I got into a bug here. I don't know. Yeah, well, you were playing the CD ROM version, I think, right?
And in ScumVM. So that
and in ScumVM. Even... So that probably solved it. I was playing the original 93 floppy disk release because I liked the text. And I was playing it in DOSBox, so this didn't have any patches applied as far as I'm aware. And yeah, there was a bug where the guy ran off and then appeared again. So he was standing there, and it was just an animation mess up because he was gone. I could walk past him.
Oh, I've sometimes seen characters be displayed twice at the same time and other weird bugs.
So it must have been some kind of graphics glitch because, well, in the logic of the game, he was gone, but he was displayed regardless. Either way, you can then walk past him, and that's where you basically just walk up to the end boss of the game.
Yeah, I think on the way there, you still pick up a bucket of floor wax, I think.
It's also... This is such... I mean...
Oh, and there are the matches on the counter of the guy that sells the tickets.
Yeah, I totally missed those at first. But this, I mean, what you said about the puzzle design, it's so... Yeah, I mean, there's literally the item you need just in front of the room that you're going to use it in. I mean,
the room that you're going to use it in.
Yeah.
And even if you need 4 items, they're probably all in the same room.
Yeah, so it's a bit underwhelming in a way.
You know, it's a bit like when I design a puzzle for an adventure for a game jam or something. That's how I make them.
Yeah.
So not the brightest way to make them, actually.
It's no, but there's much more involved puzzles in this game earlier. Mm-hmm. It's just at this point in the game, so late, you're actually quite good at it at this point, and then you're presented with these... Oh, well. I don't want to complain, but it just you just kind of breeze through this end section because of this. So anyway, you find Sordid, and I don't remember the exact order of things, but...
First of all, Sordid tries to light the fiery pits again because for some reason they are not on fire. Maybe because the fire alarm we set up?
Yeah, because of the fire alarm. Oh, because you set up the fire alarms and then I think this killed the fiery pits of Rondor. So this is a big shame.
Very impressive, those pits.
Yeah. So he's trying to light them again.
With magic, yes.
Yeah. Although, is this really... I'm just trying to think what the order was, because there's a few things happening here.
Yeah, you meet him and he's trying to light the pit anyway. And then he notices you, I think.
Oh, and this is where you point the magic wand at him.
I think that's a bit later. Well, I think you could do it there, but I think you're trapped in a dialogue. So
I think this is what I did.
Oh, really? Didn't you get the dialogue and the phone call and all?
No, that's after.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the first thing you do is you point the magic wand at him and he turns into stone.
So that's the second half.
Yeah, exactly. Then he's turned into stone.
Screen just turned off and I thought my computer crashed.
Well, you're still talking to me.
Yes.
Can't have crashed that hard. But yeah, you turn Sordid into stone because he's been turning people into stone, right? So you use his own magic against him. And then you're just on your own at the fiery pits of Rondor, which are out. So then...
That was actually a funny part that now comes up. You see it coming from 10 miles away, but it's like you see what's going to happen, because what you still need to do is you need to destroy his wand. And that will free everyone he has turned into stone before.
Exactly. So now you can use the matches that you found at the guy. And also, you had matches this whole game. You were carrying these matches, never used them for anything. And now in the end, you finally need matches and you don't have them. That's kind of funny. But then you can pick up these complimentary matches at the counter. Use the matches to relight the fires of Rondor. And then, that's the funny thing, then you decide to destroy his magic wand by tossing it into the fiery pits. That's also very, well, that's another big, that's like the whole point of Mordor, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole, yeah. So, yeah, then you destroy the wand, which breaks the spell. So,
I thought that was maybe the best joke in the game, because it's telegraphed like 10 minutes before, and it's like, this is coming up and I shouldn't do it, but it's what I have to do. So
yeah, it's really funny. So now Sordid, who you turned into stone, becomes alive again, which is kind of a problem because now you have nothing.
It makes a lot of sense that the telephone call comes now, because before Calypso couldn't call you because he was stone. Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. That's the thing. So now Calypso has also been unstoned and he calls you. Yeah, so now this is also very Monkey Island, right? It's just like a phone call disrupting this boss fight, and he's just like, oh, there's a call for you. So oh, okay. And then hello. I think he pretends it's some kind of marketing
insurance
call.
Guy,
yeah, because Calypso's hiding his identity, very cunning. So you're you're posing as a wanting to buy insurance, but actually it's Calypso trying to save you. So he just says like, hold on as long as you can and I'll come and save you.
Which is totally a lie.
Yeah, he never comes. No, he never comes. And you can try to stall him. Sort of shoots at you and you can try to say things and use your eye. Nothing works, right? Yep. I mean, it's just all... I guess this is kind of a joke on the player, where you're trying to stall him until Calypso comes. He never comes. So then you decide to take things into your own hands by using the floor wax that was just outside, sitting there for no reason. You just throw it on the floor.
And then you watch the worst bad guy tips over animation in the recorded history of video games.
Yeah, what happens?
Yeah, so a Sordid slips on the floor wax and he's like waving his arms like in a bad cartoon. Mm-hmm. And then he drops onto his bottom and you just push him into the fiery pits.
That's
and
right.
He doesn't do anything about it. So it's the worst end.
Yeah, and then there's like he turns into lava or something, right? It's like he comes up again and he's all fire.
Well, yeah, I read that as he's just burning up.
Yeah, but it's like that end scene in Terminator or something. It's like,
oh, yes.
I think. But anyway, he's gone. And that's the end of the game.
Yep, then you get some kind of cheesy outro sequence.
Yeah.
With the two demons dancing for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. And then you've saved the world, I guess, or at least the magic world.
You also have to give an interview to a guy. Like, he looks like one of those Las Vegas entertainers with a shiny glitter suit and all of that. What does it feel like to know you have saved the world?
Yeah, you're some kind of celebrity now. And then you're sent back to the normal world, right? Because actually the game starts in the intro with you and your dog in sort of a normal house. And you're transported into this magic world. And now you're back. Mm-hmm. So, and then the game just quits the DOS.
That was the weirdest thing. I thought it crashed. So I reloaded my save game just to see if it all worked correctly. But no, it just quits.
Yeah, it does the same thing in DOSBox. It just it's not even announcing it. It's just like, well, that's enough, and then it just quits.
Yes.
So then you're back at the prompt.
I think after the demons who are dancing for you, they bow.
Yeah.
And then the game quits.
It's like, then just over.
Like, what?
That's enough scene. And it also sets up a sequel.
Oh, does it?
I think it says something like wait for the sequel, or it says something like if you want to play more Simon
on DOSBox. Yeah, I didn't see that on ScumVM because it just quits ScumVM.
No, before it quits.
Oh, really?
I think they mention a sequel.
Oh, probably. I don't know.
So yeah, that's what they say. Like, if you want more Simon, then there's only one thing to do, and that's wait for the sequel. So then okay. So yeah.
That's Simon the Sorcerer. Not quite as hard as people said it would be.
Not at all. That's kind of funny. The whole reason that we set up these playthrough sessions is because we were afraid of the, well, people were saying that this game is super difficult and would be, you know.
And I mean, yes, there is a lot of moon logic in those puzzles, but then there's never a lot of things that you can do at the same time. So, except maybe in the middle section, but yeah.
I think the fact that the whole world is open right from the start makes it sort of difficult to get into.
Yeah, I definitely have to draw a map.
And then you gather a lot of items and a lot of locations and a lot of people really quickly. So this ramps up. Like, if you're trying to brute force it, this becomes really difficult because it just branches out so much at the start. So, I mean, this definitely makes the game challenging. But I mean, this is a full price game, right? I mean, people paid top dollar, so it would also not be good if it didn't pose a challenge.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you draw a map and you take a few notes, like on a single sheet of paper, that was enough for me. So
yeah,
you don't need like a big notebook for taking notes about the game.
No, and it's sort of doable. So I don't know. I was afraid of this game, but we only needed three sessions and played through the whole thing in more or less a week.
People also say Sam the Sorcerer 2 is very hard, so maybe we should try that one.
That's true. So, yeah. Maybe that's where the real challenge comes in. I also read that he's a lot meaner in Simon 2. So
the guy is meaner.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm not sure if I'm into that, but
he's 14. 14 years.
Yeah, old, so he's already kind of mean in one, and I don't know. So yeah, that's the game. It's cool that other people drop by, and I hope they're making good progress. And well, after listening to this, then surely they'll manage to to get through it.
Yep. Is this the first walkthrough of Simon the Sorcerer in pure audio form?
Might be. Might be, yeah, I don't know. It's not really a thing, is it? Audio walkthroughs. No,
I don't think so.
Right. So, yeah, that's the game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was
I think
good
it's,
fun.
It's a cool game. So, we'll definitely do a normal podcast as well. I think some people were a bit confused by our sudden change of format.
That's why we didn't put it in the RSS feed for the normal episodes.
Yeah, but I actually got... I said someone complained. Well, complaints maybe not the word, but someone mentioned that these episodes are not showing up in their feed. So there's a bit of confusion maybe about this. But either way, we'll do a normal podcast about Simon as well. And we'll also bundle these playthroughs into one big bonus episode. So
yeah,
that's what we'll
do. 3 hours.
3 hours.
Still shorter than Monkey Island.
That's true. Right. So yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Thanks. Thanks for hosting this.
Oh yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was less hosting and more just talking about the game.
Yeah. I feel we should do this more for narrative driven games. I mean, for like a strategy game or something, it maybe makes less sense. Yeah. But for a game that has a linear progression, it's kind of cool to catch up.
Also, for puzzle games where you can give hints to each other. I mean, if in action games, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, yeah. I can't teach you in words how to beat a boss in Super Mario World or something.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But for since it's the year of the adventure game, we'll have a lot of these sort of games coming up. So
yeah, I mean, there's...
I think it will be fun.
There's a Sierra game coming up, so...
That's the last one, I think.
Those have a... I mean, I probably will need help with that one.
Yeah, for sure. But also, in August, we're playing the Star Trek adventure game. And then in October, we're playing Hugo's House of Horrors, which is also a point-and-click adventure game. And December has Space Quest. So I think for all these games, it would make sense to catch up at least once on...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. We'll do that.
Right.
Also, we need to pick a game for September, I'm now seeing. And November is missing.
Well, so. You are the one who always wants to keep things open until the end.
Yeah, but we shouldn't wait until literally the end. So I think now would be a time to start thinking about what would make sense as a September game. We'll come up with something.
Something with pirates. Well, I think we've covered all pirate games.
Pirates. we'll come up with something. It will be fine. All right. So, yeah, that's it. And talk to you later.
Yep, talk to you. Bye.
Bye. Awesome.